region, and Donald comes with me. And it's great because we get to meet lots of new people and see what God is doing across the whole of Heber. And I would encourage you to join the prayer meeting if you can. We're going to be praying for Heber specifically at the lunchtime slot and then the afternoon and morning slots are more nationally focused. I also bring greetings from my own church because I'm part-time for Heber and I'm part-time for the wonderfully named Dark House Baptist Church. And if you want to know the story of Dark House Baptist Church and how it got its name, at the moment on the Dark House Baptist Church Facebook page, another place called Stroll Through Time has done this wonderful little video that tells the story of how we got our name. So there's a bit of homework for you. But I bring greetings from my church there. They are praying for us this morning, and the deacons are leading the service back at my church, so I'm praying for them as well. They will be brilliant. So let's just pray as I just explore this word with you this morning. So Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And may we hear you speak to us this morning through this word, through this service, and through our conversations after the service. And Lord Jesus, we pray that what is of you will stick, will take root in our hearts and be remembered and acted upon. And then what is not of you would be forgotten and forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So thinking about forgetting things, there's a bit of a test here because I'm going to see how much you remember of Rachel's talk earlier on. And we didn't plan this, so this is really good. But I wonder if, like me, we get to a certain age and you go to the top of the stairs to fetch something. But by the time you've got there, yep, you've forgotten what you got there for. Or have you ever changed your haircut or your glasses or shaved off your beard? I haven't shaved off my beard. But if you have, and then you look in the mirror and you think, oh, I don't look like that, do I? Or you look at a photograph of yourself from a long time ago. Sometimes in our heads we still think we look like that, and then we look in the mirror and we're like, oh, that's a bit of a shock. Or have you ever been given a list of instructions and then on your way to carrying them out, you get distracted by something? I'm always being distracted. And you forget the instructions, or you only remember 3 out of the 4 and you've got them in the wrong order anyway. Don't ever give me directions somewhere. I am hopeless. I can't remember them. Well, these are all familiar experiences for me. Are they familiar experiences for some of you? Yeah? Yeah. Well, James, in the reading that we heard, not only exhorts us to listen to God's word, but as Rachel said earlier on, but to do what he says, to be doers of the word. Otherwise, we are like people who look at our face in the mirror, and unlike the lovely young girls who could remember what they look like, we can't, because we're not putting our faith into action. If we don't put our faith into action, if we forget what Jesus teaches us, well, we might as well be like those people who look in the mirror and then on turning away, we forget what we look like. We are like those people who go to the top of the stairs with purpose and then can't remember what we came upstairs for. We're like those who get lost because we only remember half of the directions. But a healthy church and a healthy follower of Jesus listens to God and does what he says. So, this is where I've got to remember to use my clicker. So we need the PowerPoint up, please. Is that okay? Hopefully. Brilliant. So that was who I was. Anyone who listens to the word and doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But I want us to look this morning and think about this passage through the lens of 3 questions. What does this mean for the first hearer of this letter from James, the first people that James was writing to? What does this look like in Lebanon? Because I've recently been to Lebanon, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about Lebanon and put it into context in Lebanon, because there I saw people putting their faith into action. And FEMA, I'm going to tell you a little bit about FEMA and BMS. I know you've got Michelle Mahon and her husband, whose name I've forgotten. See, David, thank you. See, I can't remember these things, but they are your BMS link workers. And then what does it look like for us as Tamworth Baptist Church, as part of Heber, as the church in the world? Those are the 3 lenses that I want us to look through this morning. So first of all, some context. The first reader of this letter, or a book, we call it the Book of James or the Letter of James, they were early Christians. They were probably Jewish believers who were living in a very unstable situation. They were living under an occupying force, the Romans, and they were facing persecution for their faith. And we think that the James who wrote this letter is probably James, the brother of Jesus, because he was a leader of the early church. And drawing on the wisdom from the books of Proverbs, the Old Testament writings, the Hebrew Bible, books of Proverbs, and also from hearing Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, James and the early Christians are just trying to work out what does it mean to put our faith in action, to be followers of Jesus in that first Christian community. What does it look like to be a healthy Christian community, even though they were living in the midst of hardship and facing persecution? James acknowledges that his readers are living in challenging times, but his message is, keep going, persevere in the face of this oppression and crisis. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and keep going. It's a good message for us as well, isn't it? You see, the trials that we face in this broken world, they're not caused by God, I don't believe, but I think God does use and redeem them. I don't think he causes bad things to happen. We live in a broken world. But he can use and redeem the things that happen to us to produce character and endurance as he works in the world to bring about his restoration for the world and his wholeness. And James encourages his readers to think about what their experience is teaching them about God and the world. Faith that matches our actions. Well, that's living faith. James says that faith without actions is dead faith. And Rachel referenced that again in her talk, which is brilliant. This repetition helps us to remember, which is really good. If we are followers of Jesus, we can ask for his help to live out our faith, because it's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to live out our faith. But we can ask for Jesus' help to live out our faith so that our actions match our words. When our heart, our faith, and our actions are at odds with one another, it can feel like we're living a disjointed, fractured life. But through God's generous gift of wisdom and the empowering of his Holy Spirit, we can be restored to wholeness, to living lives of integrity, of faith, thought, and action, where it all matches, it all adds up, and it all flows. Let's just have a look here at the next. Yeah. So James gives practical examples of faith in action. At the end of that first reading, it says, "Religion that God our Father accepts is as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted in the world." And then in the second reading, it said that faith and needs to be demonstrated with practical action. It's all very well saying blessings and prayers when you see someone in need, but actually it says give them food and clothing. Faith in action. So we can ask ourselves, where is God at work in this? How do the teachings of Jesus and God's word speak into the situations that we're facing in our lives? How can we join in with God's work to bring about wholeness and God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? I want us to think this morning about putting our faith into action, listening to God's word, hearing what God's saying to us, and then putting our faith into action by doing what it says. I wonder, now I think Rachel was a bit distressed when she saw I had a mirror on the table, but were you listening to what Rachel said? I want us to see if you can make the connection between some of these items that I've got here. So we've got the mirror, we've got a church, we've got a Highland coup, and we've got a school book, and we've got a truck of cheese. This one is black pepper cheddar. Anyway, it's what I got out of my fridge this morning. I was running around the house, like, what looks like a church? That's going to roll. There we are. First of all, the mirror. What did Rachel say this mirror was all about? Go on, shout it out. Don't forget, isn't it? Listen to what God's saying. put it into action. We don't want to be the people who hear what God says and then we don't do what he says. But what about the cow, the cheese, the church and the notebook? That wasn't in Rachel's talk this morning. Well, you, at the beginning I said we wanted to think about what does this passage mean to the people living in Lebanon. You've maybe heard about Lebanon a lot in the news in these last few weeks since the end of February. In October, I had the privilege of visiting Lebanon. I need to now move this on to there. I visited Lebanon with BMS. I was there to observe the work of a BMS partner organisation called Thimar. Thimar means fruitful in Arabic. It's an organisation who put their faith into action. They work with the Lebanese church in Lebanon. They are a Lebanese Baptist organisation. Like the situation of the early church that I just outlined for you, Lebanon is in a very unstable situation. It was when I went to see there in October. Oh my, is it in much more an unstable situation now. But it's been in a very unstable situation for a very long time. These are the people that I went with. Steve Finnemore at the end was the past president of the Baptist Union, and Sonia and... I've just had a moment. Ian, there we are. See, not really good at remembering. Sonia and Ian will know Steve well because he was our principal. And then there's me behind, next to me at the back row. Alex Afray is the incoming president of the Baptist Union. And the guy in the red T-shirt, he's another Baptist minister called Leroy from Burnley. The girl in the stripy top at the front is a BMS worker, Rachel. She works in the fundraising department. And then the other folk in this, the lady at the front with the green scarf is a lady who is the pastor's wife, and the pastor is behind. And then this is another worker from Thema who's got the yellow top on. I get messages from that pastor's wife every day, encouraging. We talk to each other. You make friends when you go on these trips. So this is there. This just tells you about Lebanon in crisis, really. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you just have a look at this timeline as I'm speaking. In Lebanon, people live with the constant threat of war. They have done for many, many years. This timeline starts at 2006, but the threat of war has gone way, way back in the 80s, way, way back, way, way back. But this is just from there. They have had, in the past, a war with Israel. They're currently at war with Israel again. Well, they aren't. Hezbollah are at war with Israel, and it's affecting them. The civil war with occupation from Syria. The southern part of Lebanon is currently under attack, as is the southern part of Beirut. Before the war broke out in the Middle East again, just on the 28th of February, many Lebanese were already internally displaced because the southern part of Lebanon was already occupied by Israel. And they were already displaced from previous conflicts. The economy in Lebanon has crashed. Their currency has very little value. They prefer to work in dollars. There is mass unemployment. The society is a very divided society. It's a sectarian society. There are 18 different sects, Islamic sects, Christian sects, Jewish sect, and the Druze, which is a very mystical religion. But people are coming to faith, which is amazing, coming to Christian faith as well. And this is in the context where one in three people who live in Lebanon is a refugee. 30% of the population in Lebanon is a refugee. They fled from conflict in surrounding countries, Syria, Palestine, and other countries. And Thema were already supporting the refugee population through their relief and development ministry, Mereth. So here we are. This is Thema's strapline. They bearing fruits of faith, churches flourishing, and communities transformed. They're a non-profit Baptist organisation in Lebanon working alongside the local churches. They're not doing for the local churches. They're not coming in and doing the work. They're empowering the local church, little churches, big churches in Lebanon, just like this church, working alongside churches across the Arab world, empowering them to strengthen their witness and put their faith into action through equipping the church with resources from their publishing house, equipping the church by training leaders, men and women across the whole of the Middle East and North Africa, MENA. I was having to do the little mnemonic in my head, Middle East and North Africa region. They're training Christian leaders across to equip the churches. They have community development, the Merith, which is relief and development, and they have education for all, including children with special needs. They want to see churches flourishing and communities transformed in the Arab world for the glory of God. And since I went there, I have been praying for them and keeping in touch with them, particularly at the moment when things are so unstable. So just like the early church, they are living in a time of crisis. And once again, ordinary Lebanese people are caught up in the consequences of war in the region. As I said, it's Israelis attacking Hezbollah, and who have a presence in Lebanon, but they are not in charge of Lebanon. And there are now more than a million internally displaced people who have been forced to evacuate their homes from southern Lebanon and from southern Beirut. And actually, there's been bombings in central Beirut now as well. I can't imagine it. I can only hear the stories. But I want to tell you the story of hope, because I did ask you, what are these connections about these things here? And you're thinking, I've forgotten about them, didn't you? You thought I'd forgotten about them, but I haven't. I want to tell you a story of hope about a pastor whose church was in a poor rural valley in Lebanon. And there are no jobs in this area. And there's very little school options, education for the young people, because the state schooling system has collapsed because the state can't afford to pay the teachers. And so if you can afford to send your children to private school, that's okay. But otherwise, there's very little schooling. And then the refugees have very little access to schooling as well. So that's the context of this place. People were leaving the area and the church was under threat of closure because there was no employment, no schooling, no hope, it felt. What did God ask this church to do to step out in faith? Well, they were praying for a local pastor to stay, who felt a call and obedience to stay in the local area. And this pastor, he gave a vision to stay in the local church and to get 7 cows. Yeah, 7 cows. And make cheese. Because there was a very special cheese called shakleesh that this area, this region made. And he said, if you can get 7 cows and make cheese, then, well, why would you do that? Sonia, was that your plan when you came here? No, you'll be glad to know this, because I tell you, for a while, this church got their 7 cows and they were making this cheese in the church. And you come to church on Sunday morning and it would stink of sour milk and cheese. So you're glad that that's not Sonia's vision, yes? But it was a brilliant vision for this church. They have a vision to get cows and to make cheese. Blessed are the cheesemakers. Yeah, if you're a Monty Python fan, you'll get that. The herd of the 7 cows grows to about 30 cows. And they acquire a disused dairy factory in the neighbouring town and bring that back into operation. So when I went to visit this church, thank goodness they were no longer making cheese in the church. They were now just about to open the factory. It was its first operational day when we were there. And they've brought this factory back into life with help of expertise from FEMA's Aid and Development and Ministry arm. And this provided employment in this local area. 7 cows making cheese, 30 cows now. They need people to look after the cows. They need people to grow the feed for the cows so that the cows are fed so they can produce the milk to make the cheese. They need people to make the cheese in the factory so people can stay. And the income that was provided from this provided employment and also money to renovate the church and provide schooling and education. They've set up a school in the top of the church. Can you believe this? And through this, more and more people came to the church to know Jesus, because they saw that this church was investing in their current community. They wanted to see their community flourish. And more people were wanting to know Jesus. They gave practical aid in food and clothing to those in need, whether they were in need through lack of money or because they're fleeing from dangerous places to safety. This is faith in action. And in this current crisis, since I've been there, I was there in October, Just a couple of weeks ago, just a week, in this week, I think, they've released a new video to show how this ministry that started off with seven cows and an idea of the minister to grow and make cheese, how it's actually grown and how it's at work in this crisis at the moment. This is faith in action. We're going to watch a video now. It's about 7 minutes long, just so that you know. But it is, for me, I just think it's mind-blowing faith in action. So I'll let you play that for us. Thank you. I was really humbled by what I saw in Lebanon, despite the challenging circumstances that they live in. I'm even more humbled when I watched that video. And I saw that factory producing the dairy on the first day it went live. And I even got to taste some of their cheese, which was delicious, I have to say. But they had resilience and hope, which humbles us. They had a sense of prayerful obedience to the call of God to stay and serve and share Christ with everyone. What started as a little vision with seven cows in the church that made some cheese is now serving the whole of Lebanon with that outreach. And Themar also has stepped up to hosting some displaced families in the Arab Baptist Theological Seminary guest house as well. And the school is trying to keep going. They're trying to keep the theological program online going. They're trying to keep the school children's online learning going. It is faith in action. And, you know, it's exemplified. There are so many stories that exemplify that. I saw example after living example of mature Christians putting faith into action, asking God, what is it that you want us to do here? How can we practically help and show your love and faith? And they were doing this in difficult circumstances, praying and listening to God and being obedient and seeing Christ made known. The Syrian refugees, they ask the volunteers from the local Baptist churches, why are you kind to us? The displaced people of other sects are asking, why are you kind to us? We're not Christian. We're not Baptist. Why do you help us? And the reply is, this is what Jesus would do. This is what Jesus would do. He asks us to do it, to love our neighbours as ourselves. And you are our neighbours, they say to the Syrian refugees, to the internally displaced people from all the different sects that have ended up in the relief centres. The people that I met working with Themar in partnership with BMS are looking in that mirror and then they are not forgetting what they look like when they walk away. They are not forgetting that they are made in the image of God, just as everyone they serve are made in the image of God, a reflection of God. The people we met for Themar in the partner churches were living out a calling to stay, to keep going, to persevere, even in the face of crisis, to bring hope and to see churches flourish and communities transformed. And they need our prayers in these even more difficult days. I can see how well Themar and BMS aims match. You've got, as I said, your BMS missionaries here as well. There's a heart for the gospel. Oh, sorry, I just want to show you that one. That was a sign I saw in the school. I like it. Throw kindness around like confetti. Isn't that lovely? They have a heart for the gospel as they support and equip local churches to live out their faith, train Christian leaders, and live out their faith in practical ways for the world to see. They bring hope for the world through their ministries to displaced people and to those who are marginalised, because they work with children with learning disability as well. That's one of their ministries I haven't mentioned, but it's so important. And they bring hope of reconciliation and peace as they reach out across the sectarian and nationality divides. And they provide help for the journey with their outreach and support for refugees. One of our link missionaries in Dark House is Wissam, who is the principal of ABTS. And he asks us to pray. That's just a view of a beautiful Beirut sunset in this beautiful country. And we went out to see the Cedars of Lebanon. But Wissam has asked us to pray. To pray, so let's pray now. Let's pray for Lebanon, for restraint, for peace, for wisdom among leaders, for protection over civilians, and for the mercy of God upon this land. Let's pray in this Kairos moment where God may step into history that the people of God in Lebanon would be found faithful, calm in spirit, firm in hope, generous in love, and ready to serve. And pray for the staff and community at Themar as they navigate uncertainty, make difficult decisions, and care for others while carrying their own burdens. So as we come in to land now, we need to think about reading our headlines. What's our context like? What are the struggles that we're facing? We may not be living under occupation or in the middle of a war. We may not be being persecuted for our faith, but many are facing the cost of living crisis. Our society is becoming more polarised and divided. And there is much hatred and lying and threats to our wholeness with injustice and discrimination and climate change related disasters that are quickly forgotten. And then there's the loneliness epidemic. These are different things that we're facing. And then the forgotten wars in Yemen, Ukraine, Gaza, when a different war takes the headlines. When we think about all these things, it would be easy for us today to lose heart. It would be easy for the people in Lebanon and the believers in Lebanon today to lose heart. It would have been easy for the first readers of James to lose heart. And yet, James encouraged his readers to have hope, resilience, and persevere as they put their faith into action. And I hope that by watching that video about Themar and listening to what we've said today, you can have hope. There is hope. There is always glimmers of hope. We see the church supported, the church in Lebanon, supported by Themar, holding on to hope, showing great resilience and perseverance, even in this current awful crisis. So a little bit of homework for you guys. What are our stories of hope? What are our stories of resilience and faith in action? Because it's easy to say, well, that's going on over there, or that happened way back in history. But what are our stories today? As Baptist churches and in membership of our local association, Heber, and as part of Bugby, I thought, what's the nearest thing? Well, home mission. Home mission is part of how we enable churches to flourish and communities to flourish and churches to step up. Home mission funding enables churches to have ministers or train ministers who would otherwise struggle to fund ministry. And it also gives grants for innovative projects, maybe not making cheese, but it might be another innovative pioneering thing. Giving to home mission allows us to work together in partnership like Themar does in Lebanon to put our faith into action. I don't know what your giving is here at Tamworth to Home Mission, but there is a campaign to say, can we afford to give just 1% more? Can we increase our giving so that we can step out and put our faith into action? But when our faith matches our actions, we become whole, we become integrated and mature, not lacking any good thing for serving our community with the love of Jesus. It's vital for us to read and study the Word of God so that we can know Jesus and we can hear what he's saying to us and not forget what we've heard, but actually put it into action and become beacons of hope in a challenging world. You know, faith in action is a powerful witness. It's a witness to the world that doesn't yet know Jesus. Acts of faith inspired by kindness, if we spread it like confetti, speaks volumes. And then we are always ready to explain the hope that we have with kindness and respect. It doesn't have to be faith or putting it into action. It can be both and. So let's not forget what a healthy disciple looks like. Let's not forget what a healthy church looks like. And I pray for this church, Tamworth Baptist Church, that as you discern together God's call on you, what's he asking you to do here to be a beacon of hope in your community, that each of you will reflect God's image as you put your faith into action. And I pray this would be true of all churches. Amen.